you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, and hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, January 12th, 2024. It's the time when we have Pastor Jason Schiffo facilitate a discussion, and our topic is going to be, I think, for the next few weeks about prayer and getting to know God. And I think you can't ever go wrong when you discuss the topic of prayer, because that's when you build intimacy with God and you get to listen and hear and talk with him. And so I hope you'll benefit by today's discussion. And that was from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18.
All right. So happy New Year to everybody. How many of you all have made some New Year's resolutions?
Sure.
You have? Excellent.
Not me.
No? Well, so what are some New Year's resolutions that you've made? Some things maybe you want to make positive changes in the new year for?
Lose weight, save money.
Lose weight, save money. Okay, what else? Yep. By the way, the lose weight one is number one on everybody's list. If you go down the list of things that people want to do in the new year, you pick the number one. So you got the largest crowd around you who are pursuing the same thing. Gym memberships are up. People are buying health, fitness applications, you know, that set of weights that'll collect dust in the garage soon. What are some other resolutions anybody's made for the new year?
Oh, read one book a month.
Okay. Anybody else? Alaric, you got a New Year's resolution that you're making?
Work out more.
Okay. I see Alaric's right there with you. Anybody else?
Read the Bible more.
Read the Bible more. All right. So let me ask you this second question, particularly you, Ron, since you've got a bunch of resolutions for this year. How many of those resolutions, before you decided, I want to do these things, did you pray about?
None.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for perfectly setting up what we want to talk about today. And that is, in the new year, listen, if we're the followers of Jesus, before we do anything, we ought to pray. Because the Bible teaches us, and Jesus teaches his followers, that before you do anything, you're supposed to seek first what?
God's
his kingdom.
Yeah, God and his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what he deems to be right, good, and just. And that's what we have to do. By the way, probably for us also, the power to accomplish anything that we desire to do is going to come from who?
From the Lord.
From the Lord. And so if we wanted to, whether it's to read a book a month or to lose weight or to work out or maybe to change how we navigate relationships, whatever it is we want to do, take better care of our yard, take your pick, be a better parent, we ought to pray about it first, because the power to accomplish those things is only going to come from who?
God.
From the Lord.
From the Lord. Right. And so I think at the top of every follower of Jesus's New Year's resolutions, and I use that word very lightly, but I'll use it in a way to say what we're going to resolutely set our hearts upon in the new year, prayer should be at the top of the list.
Amen.
Now, when I say prayer, what do you think I mean?
Prayer is a conversation with the Lord.
Conversation with the Lord. Okay, what else? Anybody else have thoughts about prayer, what it is?
Well, it is conversation. One-on-one. With God, with Jesus, asking for guidance, for one thing.
Okay, so seeking guidance. What else?
Prayer for people's needs.
Okay, prayer, so like intercession for people's needs. Okay, anything else?
Just help with whatever you're doing.
We just help with whatever you're doing, yep. So I want to frame this conversation in this way. When I was dating my wife, we would talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. No matter where we were. We would be at her house, and she'd be making dinner, talk. We'd be in a car, going to a movie, talking. Going to the store, talking. Wherever we were at. In fact, we didn't even like to go to movies because we get in a movie theater and we want to start talking. The movie's going on, and we're like, talking back and forth. We just love to talk wherever we go. Why? Because we were learning about one another. We were falling deeper in love. We wanted to understand, what do you think about this, and what do you think about this, and what does this look like? And we would just talk. Did you guys ever have that experience when you were dating, when you, you know, if we think back in those days, that we just talked and talked and talked?
That's right.
Yeah.
Now we're married, we don't talk.
Well, I was going to say, my wife and I still talk. It's just now we have an audience for every time that we talk. We joked about that last night because we were talking, and in my son says that in my old age, I pause more. And so every time I would pause, my kids like to put a word in there for me. Where I'll say, it's sort of like, and then they'll go, blah, blah, blah. And you'll be like, will you be quiet, please? No. But my wife and I, we would talk some more.
Did you ever get kicked out of the movie theater?
Oh, jeez.
No, never. Never. But we didn't go see that many movies. We went, never mind. I can tell you dating stories, but I won't do that. But we would just talk. And that's what I think prayer is. Mm-hmm. I think prayer is, I am so deeply in love and passionate about my Heavenly Father that what I want to do is just talk to Him about everything. Not just some things, but everything. You know, it's interesting because people will talk about the necessity of having a prayer time. But one of the things I don't hear a lot is the necessity of having a prayer life. This constant, unending conversation that you're having with the Lord about everything, no matter what it is. You pick up your cup of coffee and you have the opportunity to say, Lord, this is such good coffee. Thank you for making coffee. Thank you for making creamer. Thank you for making honey that makes my coffee sweet. Lord, thank you for this car. Lord, I'm so excited to get in the car and go on a drive with you today. What adventures are you going to take me on? We just have this opportunity to talk to our Heavenly Father all day long. And for some of us, we would limit that to just a prayer time instead of a prayer life.
Is that what Paul meant by the pray continuously?
Well, isn't it interesting? And I want to go before that verse even, because Paul says, rejoice always. And so first of all, you go, this is one of those verses that you read in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19, where you go, Paul, what is it that you really mean? Like, you're setting the bar so high here, you're talking in terms that I don't even understand, because you're talking about rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. Right there you go, Paul, are you even living in reality? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not always rejoicing. And I can't seem to sometimes even get to the prayer time, let alone the prayer life. And thanks in all circumstances? I mean, really. Yeah. Have you encountered some of the things that I've encountered, Paul? Now, luckily, we get to read passages where Paul talks about how he's been whipped and he's been beaten and he's been hungry and he's been in need and in want and all these different things. So we know that Paul's been in all kinds of circumstances, difficult places in his life. I think that the reason that Paul could make these kinds of statements is because Paul chose to have a prayer life instead of a prayer time. Mm-hmm. Paul chose to talk with his Heavenly Father instead of just talking to him once in a while. And that's what a real relationship is like. You know, I sometimes get concerned these days because we say we have relationships with people that we only talk to once a week or once every 2 weeks or once in a great while. When a relationship requires constant communication, mm-hmm. a real relationship, a vibrant relationship, requires constant communication. Because if not, then how do you even know how that person's doing? How do you even know how you could pray for that person? How do you know anything about what's happening in the life and the mind of that person? Because let's be honest, when we get around somebody, we have to spend the first 10 minutes getting, how does my wife say it, opening the gate. Because everybody's got the gate on their fence closed. Everybody's kind of like, I'm okay. You ever sit with somebody and they're like, I'm okay. 10 minutes later, I'm not that okay anymore. Mm-hmm. Things are not that good. Mm-hmm. Things are actually kind of tough. And so Paul wants to talk with his Heavenly Father. And I think that the rejoicing, when he says rejoice always, is not rejoicing because everything in his world is wonderful. The rejoicing comes from the second part of the verse, which is that he's praying without ceasing. The joy that he has comes from the constant communion and conversation that he's having with his Heavenly Father. His choice to say, I want to constantly talk with my Heavenly Father. I want to constantly seek his heart and his guidance. I want to understand what his will is for my life.
When that word joyful, it's not be happy always.
No. Joyfulness is not happy and fast. Happiness, if that's your pursuit, that's fleeting and you're going to get in trouble because happiness comes and it goes. One minute I'm happy and the next minute I'm not happy because that's all dependent upon my circumstances. And that's what Paul's going to say, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. But Paul is saying that in all of your circumstances, point and orientate yourself to the Lord. Keep in constant communion and conversation with the Lord because that is where you'll find your joy. Your joy is not going to be found in your circumstances because you could be happy in one minute and the next minute that goes away. I remember my kids, we went out and I got this new coffee maker and I was super excited. Number one, I like coffee. Number two, I like coffee. I like to get coffee quick. And so I was really excited about this coffee maker until I opened it up and started reading the manual and realized how difficult it was going to be for me to make this coffee. And so I was like, no. I was so happy, and then all of a sudden I wasn't happy, and it was because my circumstances changed.
Yes.
Paul's saying, listen, it's not about my circumstances. It's about the Lord. Mm-hmm. And because my joy is found in the Lord, I can rejoice always. Why? Because he's always available, always present, always around.
And I think it's having that eternal perspective, too, because there will be disappointments and heartaches and tears on this side of heaven.
Yeah. Well, listen, we should as Christians live with this awareness, an honest awareness, that the world we live in is broken. So I always get around people and they're like, can you believe this is happening? And you go, yeah, actually I can. The world's broken.
It's going to get worse.
I'm not shocked, My kids always joke because we go to McDonald's and they'll be like, can we get some ice cream? Sorry, the ice cream machine's broken. And I go, that's because we live in a fallen world. The ice cream machine never works. It's okay. Don't be shocked by that. The world is broken. We shouldn't be shocked by that. That should not shock us. And so we need to rejoice always because our joy is in the Lord. And then we need to, Paul says, have a conversation that doesn't stop. Pray without ceasing. That means all day, all throughout your day, inviting the Lord to be a part of everything that you do by talking to him. I mean, do you have a friend or somebody that you just love to call and talk to? And sometimes for us, it's our spouses, right? I mean, my wife and I, we call my wife will call me and I'll call her for the silliest things because we just want to share things that are going on in our day. And what's amazing is sometimes I'll call her and she'll be busy, so it'll go to voicemail. When I talk to the Lord, it never goes to voicemail.
That's true.
Because the Bible says that he inclines an ear to hear the prayers that are being prayed in this place. Will somebody read for me? Who has Psalm 17 and verse 6?
I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O Lord. Incline your ear to me, hear my speech.
Yep. And so this verse in Psalm 17 says what? I will call upon you. By the way, I use that little analogy about my wife calling me all day long and it going to voicemail because I love how these verses say, I will call upon you. But when the psalmist says, I'll call upon the Lord, I'm going to talk to the Lord, what does he say next? For you will answer me. He is so sure that the Lord is listening. He's so sure that the Lord will answer, that the Lord's desire is to talk, and talk some more with his people. And what I also love about this is it's not how, but will. So I don't know how the Lord's going to answer me. I mean, sometimes I feel like it's been an audible voice. Sometimes it's all of a sudden somebody says something to me. Sometimes, I mean, do you have encounters like that?
Yes. Scripture, a song.
Yeah, scripture, a song, a commercial will come on the TV.
Yes.
A bird will fly past the window. I mean, all kinds of different things that will happen. You'll go like, oh, that's a confirmation. The Lord was listening. He did hear. And so this psalmist says, I'll call upon you for you will answer me. And then he even says that, incline your ear and hear my words. He knows that the Lord, and by the way, when it says incline, it means to kind of stoop or lean in. And so he's saying, the Lord is leaning in. He wants to hear what I say. And the Lord himself says in other places in Scripture that he will incline an ear to the prayers that are being prayed in this place. That the Lord desires to hear the voices of his children. He desires to hear them seek his heart. Why? Because he's good and he wants to share his heart with us. You know, there was a Christian who wrote years ago a book called Your Best Life Now. Mm-hmm. And the fascinating thing that I found when I read this book, because I read it, and I don't suggest it to anybody, but I read it, he never included prayer in there. Your best life now begins with prayer. Mm-hmm. Because your best life is found when you're talking to the Lord. When you're asking the Lord. You know, sometimes my wife and I will have a bit of a robust conversation. Some of you might call it a fight.
Yes.
And listen, we've tried all different kinds of ways to get around that, and the only way it ever works is when we talk to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord clarifies us sometimes our own silliness, why we do certain things, why we say certain things, you know, and he'll speak to our hearts and go, that's silly. Why'd you say that? Why are you being that way? Who has Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12?
Verse 12. I got Jeremiah 29. Turn the page. Verse 12.
Yeah.
Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you.
Right. So see, Psalm 17 and 6 that we read before, that was from the standpoint of the psalmist, the person who's praying. But Jeremiah 29 and 12 is the Lord speaking. And what does the Lord say? He says the exact same thing the psalmist says. You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. So again, I think this is an important confirmation that when we pray, the Lord is listening. He hears us. Your prayers don't just like go out into the ether and go nowhere. The sovereign God of the universe, who's maintaining the planets in their orbits and the stars in the sky, is listening to what you're saying. He cares about the nuances of your day. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's pretty mind-blowing to me.
Yes.
That of all the things the Lord can do, he says in his word that he desires to hear my voice. And then who has Psalm 145, verses 18 through 19?
I do.
Okay.
The Lord is near to all who call upon him, all who call out to him with integrity. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears the cry for help and saves them.
Yeah. And so this clarifies what we already know from the first two verses we looked at, Psalm 17, 6 and Jeremiah 29, 12, that the Lord is near. So he's like right there. So that inclining that he does, that stooping down, that leaning in, he leans in towards us because he is near to all who call upon him. Now the second part of this verse is so important, all who call upon him in truth. And so the easiest way to understand that is all who call upon him for the right reasons. For those who call upon him understanding who he is, and rightfully, you know, we're not handling our relationship with the Lord willy-nilly, kind of saying whatever it is we want. We understand who he is and how he is. And so we call upon him in truth.
I was thinking of that word truth with capital T. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. So it's also maybe a reference of true communication with God is through the truth, Jesus.
Yeah, there was something I read from somebody not too long ago, and they said this, because of Jesus coming and then ascending to the Father, we received the Holy Spirit. That in the Old Testament, they had like 2G cell service, and now we have like 20G cell service because we have the Holy Spirit who makes intercession for Holy Spirit who reaches back out through Christ to bring our petitions to the throne of God. It reminds me of this hymn that I love, and I just love the chorus of this hymn in the garden. It says, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. How many of us need to hear that?
Every day.
That I am his own. There's nothing more profound that you could ever hear, that you belong to somebody, that you're important. That's one of the things that when my wife and I were dating and we would talk and talk and talk and talk, that would always come out is, I really like being with you. I really love being near you and being in the same place. Really love the time we share together. That's what God says as we walk and we talk with him. Now listen, God is going to reveal his will to us, his way to us, and our sin to us. Why? Because it's our sin that separates us oftentimes from God. And so God wants to always keep us near. He doesn't reveal that sin to us to condemn us, but to say, let's get that out of the way because we need to stay close. Why? Because I get to walk with him, I get to talk with him, and he tells me that I am his own. And then listen, This sounds a whole lot like 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, and the joy we share as we tarry there.
Yes.
How do you rejoice always? How do you share in that joy? You walk with him and you talk, and talk some more with him. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other have ever known. It's this kind of conversation that we have that when we get around other people and we tell them about it, we go, you wouldn't believe it. I got to talk to God today. And it was amazing. You know what he told me? He told me this and that and the other, and he revealed this to me, and he showed me this, and he corrected me in this. How many of us have ever gotten around people and gone like, I spent some time with the Lord today and he revealed my sin? Not many of us have said that, but listen, that's the best news ever, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That we spent time with the Lord and he spoke truth into our heart and said, don't let anything get between you and me. I love how R.A. Torrey, he just says very emphatically, he says, he is listening, so why wouldn't you talk to him? He's listening, why wouldn't you talk to him? And so I guess my challenge for those who are listening and all of us here in the room is in 2024, will we talk some more to the Lord? Will we spend time in conversation?
One thing I was going to say, we're talking about talking always. Talking is like using your voice.
Yeah.
But just thinking.
Exactly.
When you're just thinking about things, you should include the Lord with your thinking.
And I'm thinking of the importance of listening, because he'll speak to us, but we have to be thinking. We have to pause and slow down and be attentive.
Yeah, a lot of my work is done by myself where there's nobody around.
Right, and when I say that, talk, I mean a two-way conversation. I don't want anybody to hear that we're just the only person talking, because a robust and healthy conversation involves allowing space for everybody to talk and everybody to be heard, because the words of the person speaking are so important to you. I mean, it's funny, because when I first was dating my wife, I would never interrupt her when she was talking, because I wanted to hear every word that she said. Now, I'm a little rough around the edges. But sometimes I think familiarity breeds frustration, as we like to say in our house. But that's my challenge to us. Will we desire to talk with the Lord? And as Elmer so eloquently told us, to think about the Lord, to meditate upon him, to allow him to be every part of our day.
Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you, dear listener, in Christ Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.